The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with our food and dining editor, Jane Marion. How are you, Jane?
Hey, yo, LC.
Yo, LC.
As we say in Philly, yo.
I like that. How's it going?
Really well. I just came from our July cover shoot on crabs.
Fun.
It is crab season. It's the beginning. April is definitely the time. So, yeah, I have Old Bay under my fingernails. I apologize if I reek of Old Bay.
I can't smell it, but I love that smell. It definitely is an indicator of summer and cracking crabs outside.
I feel legit. You know, Baltimore Magazine food editor should always smell like crabs during crab season.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to hear a little bit more about the shoot.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. How's your week?
It's good. Yeah, I feel like it was kind of a long week. I returned to Towson University, my alma mater, earlier this week to talk to a journalism class about writing for digital.
Molding minds.
I know. It was a really surreal experience being there. It was like in a classroom that I had very many classes in myself.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was great to be able to talk to them and, you know, hear their questions about, you know, the industry and how it's changing and the landscape of journalism. And it was just very surreal. But I was excited to be there.
What was your best question?
I got a question about kind of, you know, the shifting landscape and how, like, what other publications can learn from Baltimore Magazine.
Wow,
I forget how it was worded
question.
Exactly, but it was a great question. It was just kind of talking about print and digital and how we're kind of merging our audiences these days. And it's really exciting to be able to talk to them from the perspective of somebody who contributes to the website. You know, our website is daily, and it's great to be able to share that knowledge. it was surreal. You can hear it in my voice.
Yeah,
it was weird. Yeah.
You've been with us, what, 4 or 5 years? They must be looking at you like, wow, that's going to be me one day, you
know? That's weird for me to think about. But I just remember, like, when my professors in that very classroom would have other journalists from the industry come in and talk about their experiences. And I really did emphasize the internship program because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Towson.
Yeah, listen up, future interns at BMAG.
I started at BMAG. A lot of people don't know. I started as an intern and was so lucky to be able to stay. And
yeah, I shared you with Jess Mayhew, our digital producer.
I'm so grateful to you guys.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get too sappy, we
can
move on.
Okay. But we better move on with food
but
news.
It was
we
cool.
We can always go back to it.
That's right. Yeah, it was fun. That was a cool highlight of my week, and it was a good little field trip to break up the day.
Yeah, it's good to get out there.
Yeah. But yes, food news, lots of things as always. The Civil finally opened. This is one that we've been tracking for a little bit. It's a new restaurant in Mount Vernon. It's actually taking over the former home of Louis Bookstore Cafe on North Charles Street, which later became Warehouse 518 and Gay Lounge most recently. And now it's this really fancy space. There's gold and pops of white, and it seems like brunch service is going to be really big for them. Mm-hmm. They have it's like a new American slant, but, you know, brunch, new American dishes for brunch and dinner. Some of the dishes that you can look out for are lemon pepper cauliflower bites, drunken chicken and waffles, which sound really good, banana pudding flavored French toast, and Cajun fettuccine Alfredo. I know, right? Yeah, definitely like a dessert for breakfast type thing. And they're also going to have a Cajun fettuccine Alfredo with shrimp and smoked sausage. But one of their signature dishes, which I really do want to get your opinion on, I've seen so many photos of it on Instagram, are these 24-karat gold-encrusted fried chicken wings. They call them 24-karat gold wings. That's like their name for it.
Yeah,
but
in quotes.
What is your take on this?
Yeah, I doubt they're actual gold leaf. I wonder, it would actually be cool to see, you know, what the gold actually is.
I think that they keep it under wraps. Like, it's like their
top secret
thing.
Yeah.
But I have no idea. I don't know what that could possibly taste like.
You know, it's definitely for social media. It's going to photograph well. It's free publicity for the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I ate something along those lines at the food market once. He had
a gold
salmon.
Ooh,
wow. And I ordered it just because I was curious and I wanted to, you know, take pictures too.
Yeah.
I don't think it had any, the actual gold didn't have any taste.
Just for show.
But yeah, you know, we're definitely seeing lots of menu items at area restaurants that are strictly there for show, and hopefully they're tasty too. But
yeah,
this is definitely a transparent ploy for people to come in and and take photos.
Yeah. I'm really interested. I don't know. I mean, I know that it's probably a savory chicken wing, but you know,
yeah, we're definitely going to have to go and eat some wings there.
I'm down.
But that space, you know, people are really sentimental about the old Louis. That predates my time in Baltimore. But I know that people are always going back there hoping that, you know, something's going to take off. That nothing has really taken off in that space.
Right.
But the actual building is really beautiful.
I think it's a
turn-of-the-century Beaux-Arts building. And just I remember the interiors being really particularly beautiful. So hopefully they'll have some success.
Yeah, Louis just had that reunion at the Creative Alliance with the art exhibit. It's just, it's such an iconic staple that meant so much to so many people. Like
exactly.
You were saying, so.
Yeah, and brunch seems like the right thing to focus on in that neighborhood.
Yeah, for sure. So can't wait to get in there and hopefully report more as it finds its footing. And other news, we also saw that Plant Bar, which is a staple at Belvedere Square and has been for many years, opened a new location in Brewers Hill. So excited for them. They just recently, I think it was last year, that they expanded with their second location at Harbor Point. And now they have their new location in Brewers Hill. You can look out. It's actually on the bottom floor of the Porter apartment building. So look out for all of their juices, wellness elixirs, bottled liquids, smoothies, acai bowls, everything.
I am so impressed with the way you just pronounced acai. It's
Did I get it right?
Years. Yeah, I still look at it and I say acacia and then my kids laugh at it.
Yeah,
me.
It's a hard one to
pronounce.
Acacia, that's a new one. I've never heard
acai.
Yeah, I think I used to think it was acai.
Yeah, that too.
But anyway.
Well, I think this is just an extension of, you know, the health trend. Mm-hmm. People are just much more aware of what they're eating and drinking. And this is a really healthy liquid lunch.
Yes, liquid lunch.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm always surprised. I enjoy smoothies and juices, but they're always really expensive. And, you know, fruit's really expensive. So you just have to be prepared for a little bit of sticker shock when you buy a smoothie or a shake for, you know, they're usually like $8-$9.
Yeah.
Pure fruit, really good for you and delicious.
It's a great treat. It really is.
It is.
Yeah, if you kind of just tell yourself. Yeah, and then, right, exactly. You tell yourself, okay, I'm spending the money, but it's good for me. And, you know, there's so much thought that's put into these recipes with, you know, all of the ingredients that are good for certain things in your body. And I think it's
awesome.
Yeah,
this is just a continuation of a trend that, you know, they're really expanding Plant Bar. I think we're going to see more locations.
I hope so. I'm really happy for them. So that's now open in Brewers Hill. And in other Brewers Hill news, we saw the official debut of Mobtown Brewing, which is a brewery that a lot of people have been really excited about. It opened officially on Friday, April 26th. And their whole thing is, you know, they're bringing craft beer back to Brewers Hill. A lot of people obviously know that Brewers Hill was the home of the National Brewing Company that brewed Natty Bow for years and years and years before it moved out of town in the 70s.
Yeah, I think they're the Carolinas, do you know? Maybe North Carolina, I want to say.
It was Wisconsin?
Oh, really? Okay. That's, all right. Well, either the Midwest or the South.
Yes, yes. But... you know, we still have the neon Mr. Bo looking over us.
Yeah, we feel like he's still here.
Yes, absolutely. It's something we've definitely, you know, adopted as our own. So Mobtown Brewing, it's a 6,000 square foot facility, and they have their own tap room. They're producing signature releases, including a Silver Dollar Saison, a Calvera American IPA, and a new release called the 41-Year Lapse, which is an American Pale Ale that Mobtown has deemed the first beer to come out of Brewers Hill in the 41 years since Natty Bo moved away.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it's so creative. creative, and you know, I think that people are really gravitating towards their local neighborhood breweries. It's become such a huge part of the culture here in Baltimore.
Yeah, it's really exciting. You know, move over Bordy Vineyards, and thank you for trying. But, you know, we're really not so great at wines, which is not our fault. The wine's only going to be as good as the grape, and this just isn't really the proper growing climate, though we appreciate the effort. But brewing is, we're becoming really like a town where you could come as a destination and do a beer crawl with Guinness and
totally.
Nepenthe, am I saying that
Nepenthe,
right?
Yes, Nepenthe, yes. Yeah, this is something that
like
Jess and I...
language lesson. Yeah,
Jess and I spoke about a couple episodes ago, if anybody wants to listen back, but just about how the brewing scene is totally booming, and, you know, there's so many people who are fighting for legislation to make sure that there's reform and that there is longevity there so that breweries can continue to grow in Baltimore for years and years to come. So it's something that's really special, and welcome Moptown Brewing.
Yeah, and it feels so Baltimore to me.
Yes.
You know, we're a working class city. We're all about crabs. Beer is the perfect companion to crabs. And mm-hmm. I also love the Mobtown reference. A lot of people know that we're Charm City, but prior to that, we were Mobtown.
Yes, yes. So it's definitely, I think, even, you know, from the name onto everything else, they're using local ingredients and local grains. They're just definitely a very local, hyper-local focused establishment. So happy to have them. And, you know, in addition to all of the Brewers Hill news, there's also a lot of news in Federal Hill this week when it comes to restaurants. We learned that Bodie Corner, which is a Thai spot from the owners of Kunang Thai, and then there's also a Bodie Corner location in Hamden, they are opening a second Bodie Corner location in Federal Hill. It's on Light Street. It's the former home of Live to Eat and In Bloom.
And Bicycle.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes, Bicycle was there as well.
Really long time ago.
But yeah, there's been a lot of stuff in that space, and I think it's really a perfect fit. You know, I think that Federal Hill is expanding, and there's a lot of new eateries there that people are gravitating towards, and just judging by all of the commentary on social media, it seems like Thai food was something that the neighborhood really, really wanted.
Yeah, so. Bodie Corner too just opened in Hamden. So
yeah,
that was
kind of
quick.
A year, less than a year. Yeah,
just a few months, I think.
Yeah, that was really, really quick.
Yeah, we reviewed it recently.
So. Yes, and I know you're into Thai food.
I love Thai food. So I've been to Thailand, and for me, the revelation in Thailand was that it's very much like the Thai food here. That was a pleasant surprise.
Yes, that's great.
Unlike Chinese food, although I've not been to China, I understand that we really are eating Chinese-American food here and that it's nothing like the food in China. But yeah, the Thai food in Thailand, super spicy. The first thing you need to learn when you go there is to say my pet. That means not spicy, although they know that when they see that you're not Thai.
Right, that's a good
tip.
But
I love Thai food, so I'm definitely going to go there.
Yes, so I mean, be on the lookout for dishes that kind of mirror the location in Hamden. They'll have the classic steamed dumplings and drunken noodles, curries, and baked proteins. And then they also have vegetarian mock meats. So, you know, like mock fish, mock
I'm
chicken.
I'm scared.
Who knows what that actually is, but I've heard it's great.
I just don't understand mock meat because, I mean, really, it's a whole topic. But I love vegetables. But I don't love vegetarian restaurants. I'd be happy to go to any restaurant and just get the vegetables. But I'm not into the replacement meats, you know. Like, I don't want a fake hamburger. Mm-hmm. I mean, why?
But I do think about stuff like when people take fruits and vegetables and they kind of twist it so that it seems like jackfruit, like barbecue jackfruit.
Yeah,
I know that's popular. So, yes.
I always find it a little disturbing.
Yeah.
I do. Something that's supposed to be like something else.
You're right. It's also really nice when you go to a restaurant and they can prepare vegetables really well.
Yeah.
So that you're not missing the meat, you
right,
know?
Right, exactly.
So that's interesting. But Bodie Corner is expected to open this summer, so be on the lookout for that. And also in Fed Hill, I feel like it's like as Cross Street Market finally nears its debut, it's like another week, another Cross Street Market update. They're really rolling out a lot of different concepts. And this week, we learned about three new ones that are going to be opening this summer. The first is a stall for Pizza Di Joey, which is a food truck that's been roaming around for a long time. Joey Vannoni is the owner.
He sounds straight out of Philly.
Yes, he's from New Jersey.
Okay, so he's like my people.
He's a Jersey guy, and he's a Navy veteran. He kind of got
Vannoni.
He got his start cooking brick oven pizzas like on his base in Afghanistan, I think it was.
We have to meet this. We have to have him on.
Yes, I would love to. I've interviewed him a couple times. He really is. He was a big part of the food truck reform when they were debating that 300-foot rule a while ago.
Yeah,
remember
we
that?
Should talk to him.
He's great. Yeah. I've spoken with him before. He's awesome. And he's now having, he's getting a permanent home in Cross Street Market, which is awesome. He's going to be doing foot-long jumbo slices.
Foot long.
Or monster slices is what he's calling them, but it reminds me of jumbo slices in DC, you know, like those big.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've actually never had one, but another great thing for Instagram.
Totally. Yeah. Can you get a whole pie?
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they're doing whole pies, regular slices. And the other cool thing about this is that they're giving him his own takeout window in Cross Street Market.
Oh, how fun.
So, yeah, so he'll be able to stay open late night, accommodate those revelers going out to the bars.
Sounds like you need an SUV if you get a whole pie.
Seriously.
Something to haul it
yes,
in.
Yes, you're right. But that's one we're really looking forward to checking out once it opens. Another one is a vegan stall called Gangster Vegan Organics.
I love the name.
Gangster Vegan Organics.
It's just such an oxymoron.
Yes.
I love it.
But they're based in Pennsylvania, and they'll be opening a stall at the market. It's you know, bowls, smoothies, salads. They do something called the Swiss Beets Burger. So it's a beet burger that is on this like dehydrated bread that kind of looks like a cracker.
Here we go again.
I know.
The jury's going to be out.
Right.
I love the name.
Yes. Yeah. It's definitely a creative name. And then another really cool one is Old Line Spirits in Highlandtown has collaborated with the market to open a bar there. So they'll be doing, you know, cocktails with all of the classic Old Line whiskeys and rums, frozen cocktails, classic cocktails, and then they'll also have local beer and wine as well. So a lot of variety in Cross Street Market.
It's all happening. Yeah, they're going to keep people there with that wine bar. I think that's a good idea,
too.
Yes,
definitely. I think that was something that was missing.
There's so much energy, you know, right now in the food scene. I've been here 20 years, and I think the last five, it just continues to explode. And I particularly love all the farmers markets, the food halls, the community kitchens, the markets, the you know, renovations of these markets. It's really exciting. There's really something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that Cross Street is kind of, you know, really leading the charge when it comes to the renovation of these markets. Of course, we also see Broadway. We dedicated a whole episode to it a little while ago. Uh-huh. So there's a lot going on, and it's a really exciting time for these communal concepts. And this week I actually spent some time reporting about the new jazz club that's opening up in Harbor East. It's called Keystone Corner. I was there last week. I spent an entire afternoon really shadowing the founder and meeting some of the team there. It seems like it's going to be a great addition. So it's this crazy story that has all of these serendipitous moments weaved in, but a guy named Todd Barkin opened the club in the 70s in San Francisco, and he linked up with Chef Robert Wiedmeyer, who operated Muscle Bar in that space up until recently. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of construction issues over there.
Yeah, he pretty much decided to go dark.
Yeah, he went dark.
Like, right away,
yes.
He saw the writing on the wall that no one could get to the restaurant because of all the Harbor East construction.
Which is so unfortunate.
But maybe he suffered a little bit less just because he sort of pulled the plug right away.
Yeah, it's sounded like a smart business decision, and now it seems like everything just kind of fell into place. The two of them, Todd and Chef Robert, they met almost exactly a year ago when the chef was hosting, it was a National Endowment for the Arts dinner, which Todd was being honored at, and they met. He was hosting it at Marcel's in D.C., which is another restaurant that he owns, and they just kind of hit it off right away, and Todd had told him about this jazz club, Keystone Corner, that he had operated in the 70s in San Francisco, and they thought about the concept of live jazz and, you know, how there's such a history of it in Baltimore, and they really wanted to revive it. And now April 30th is their grand opening day.
So yeah. Robert Wiedemeyer is actually he's going to be the chef?
Yes, which is the greatest part. It's really cool. They kind of say, like, Todd doesn't have to worry about the food. He worries about the music. Like, they have their respective.
That's adorable.
So the chef is very, very much involved. I think he's spending the entire week next week leading up to the opening, training his staff and testing dishes. And his plan is to do a menu that he calls Americana Retro Refined. That's what he calls it.
I think that sounds like continental.
Yes, yes. So he was kind of just explaining it, like, really recognizable American comfort foods that people know and love. And he's just putting his chefy spins on them.
Yeah.
So some menu highlights include deviled eggs with candied bacon and pickled red onions. There's going to be grilled ribeye in a red wine sauce, an Angus burger, smothered tarragon butter chicken, and of course a crab cake with Old Bay fries.
Oh, you know, the homage
to Baltimore.
It's kind of funny though, because chefs, he's not from out of town. He's more from Bethesda, right?
Yeah, I think so.
They're a little afraid to come to town and do a crab cake because we'll know, you know, the real from the imposter. I was with Brian Plant, the chef at Rye Street Tavern yesterday, and he said they purposely didn't put a crab cake on the menu because he's a New York chef. And Andrew Carmelini, who, you know, oversees everything, is also a New York chef. And they just didn't want to get it wrong. So they do seafood bakes.
And I love
like
that.
Seafood stews.
They have those like seafood dishes of the day at
exactly.
Rye Street. I like that.
They didn't want to touch it.
Right. I respect it. I respect that a lot.
Yeah. They did a crab cake over at Rec Pier, and it was a strange sort of Italian interpretation with red sauce, and no one was having it. I think it's still on the menu, even though we've really like panned that particular interpretation.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he's being brave and putting crab cake on the menu, but he's Michelin starred.
Yes,
he is.
He is. He's a joy to talk to. I spoke with him, for the story last week, and he really is just so excited. And I think it's really special. I was able to talk to a few musicians, Cyrus Chestnut, who he started playing piano when he was 5 years old, and he's really become such a legend in the local scene. And he, you know, kind of indicated that this could be the sign of a jazz renaissance in the city, which really cool.
They booked some big names, right?
Yes, they're opening with the Ron Carter Trio. Ron Carter was Miles Davis's bassist.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so they're opening with the Ron Carter Trio on April 30th, and how it works is you buy tickets. I think they're between $20 and $45, depending on where you want to sit. And the menu is a la carte, and it's going to be great. I think it's going to be an awesome place to catch some live music and eat a great meal and
have a cocktail included.
Yes, they are.
In the cover? You know it.
Oh, I don't know. I think, you know, it might be just part of the menu.
So there's a cover charge and then you just order.
Yes. But I think that martinis are definitely going to be a huge staple on the menu. They're going to have a lot of champagne, some other classic cocktails. So it'll really have a jazz feel to
it. Yeah, and when you think about it, Harbor East, you know, it's definitely, what do we call it, the high-end shopping district. It kind of has, you know, that sounds like it has that kind of upper-end feel to it.
Yeah.
So that's great.
It'll be great, yeah. And how's your week been going? Tell me all about the crab cover
the Old Bay
shoot.
Yeah. Well, I can't reveal the theme, but you know, I love food styling. I love being on sets when we are shooting food, and it's very different to, you know, look at a plate of food and say, "Wow, that's really great. I want to eat it," and then to see how it looks on camera. So we had a lot of fun with Brian Plant at Rye Street Tavern. He brought a fryer and fried up some soft shells, brought some bacon from Whistle Pig Hollow that was house cured. This is my best bite, by the way.
Oh, good. There we go. We're killing all the
put
birds.
Put it on the house, made brioche bun with some herb aioli, and then got ready for the shoot. And then we decided that the soft shell was too far embedded in the bun, so we had to bring the crab forward.
Oh, wow.
Which literally, it was 90 minutes of rearranging a sandwich.
That's what it takes.
Yeah, the
that's
only thing I could think was this was like when they put together the space shuttle and then they move it to the launch pad and they have to build a special road. It takes 4 days.
Wow.
It was kind of like that. So Amanda White-Isley, our art director, held the bun up. I got some tongs. I brought the crab forward. Then the claws started to kind of dry out from sitting. So then we had to slick them with oil. And then add more aioli.
Jane Marion, yeah. Food stylist.
It was a whole thing. I'm exhausted from the whole thing. But wait until you see the shot.
Can't wait.
And then sometimes, you know, the chefs take it hard because they take it personally. And Brian was such a good sport. We said it has nothing to do with the way you made that sandwich.
Right.
Because I would be more than happy to just, you know, sit down and receive that at Rye Street. But when you're shooting it, it's very different. So
visual,
he was a good sport.
Visual and taste are two very different senses.
But of course, when it was all over, I definitely, you know, I ate it despite the additional olive oil. And we added extra bacon so that it could really be seen in the shoot. So you have to look for that particular photo.
I can't wait.
Really fun.
It's so cool to hear about everything that goes into it. You know, when people see it on newsstands, it just looks like this, like, beautiful, you know, most covers just look like this beautiful,
right.
You know, design, and but there's so much that goes into it, especially with food shoots.
Yeah, and without being too gross, Amanda and I always laugh because, you know, you can see like a beautiful curry, particularly things that are yellow tend to look like barf.
Yeah, they're just not photogenic.
So she'll say that looks like barf, and like, all right, we can't shoot the curry.
Yeah,
but we also made mock mojitos. We didn't want to waste the alcohol, but I learned to muddle mint with some lime and sugar, and then we poured seltzer and water into a mojito glass, garnished it with some fresh mint. I was in charge of making pretty lime slices. We put a little silver straw in there, and bingo, there's our
mojito shot. You have to make me one. You have to make me a real one sometime.
I definitely can do that.
That sounds great.
It was fun. It was really, really fun. It's fun to see the tips and tricks. Stylists use a lot of hairspray and oil. Those are two key things. And Q-tips for wiping up little messes around edges of things.
That's such a great tip. Again, these are things that you just don't even think about.
Right.
But it sounds awesome. It's going to be our July cover, so a little ways away, but so excited to see it on stands.
What did you eat that was good?
I had, myself and a few coworkers, we play on a trivia team on Wednesday nights.
I know you do that.
Yeah, we play at Solancha in Fells Point, and it's a really fun way to just kind of like unwind from your day and not think too much, but have fun while you're also working your
brain. Are you as good as the Jeopardy guy?
I am not. I feel like I contribute. I don't know. Our team is very well-rounded in that we have like people that that know a lot about different things. Mm-hmm. So one guy's really good at sports. Our research editor, Christine Jackson, is on the team, and she knows a lot about history.
And she's like our biggest podcast listener. We just have to say, hi, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Totally self-indulgent.
Yes, definitely. But she knows a lot about history and sports and, you know, politics, all of these things.
How about you?
I am the token romantic comedy person.
That doesn't surprise me.
Every once in a while there's like a rom-com question. I'm like, ooh, I know that.
What's your favorite rom-com?
Oh, man. That's a hard question, Jane. You're putting me on the spot.
I do like Harry Met Sally.
Oh,
some choices.
Oh, yeah. The classics. Yes. Love. And then like, I don't know, going into the 90s, I love. Oh, you know what was on last weekend? Have you ever seen My Best Friend's Wedding with Julia Roberts?
That's a great one.
I was on last weekend. I was watching with my mom. I was like, this is such a great movie. And I love 10 Things I Hate About You. That's a classic.
Yeah.
So lots
easy.
Of good ones. Yeah.
They feel good.
They're awesome. So I always answer those questions. But anyway, getting back to the Best Bite.
You ate something while you were doing this.
So we got their crispy Brussels sprouts at Solancha, which are really, really good.
Yeah.
They're like perfectly fried, and they come with like a spicy lemon aioli drizzled. And we've gotten them before where there's like a little too much aioli or not enough. And I feel like last night was just the perfect
amount. So you're definitely qualified to be a Brussels sprouts connoisseur, at least at Solancha.
Yes, yes. We've gotten them a couple times. But they're just so good. A lot of the food there is great. And they also have great snacks for the table if you're doing something like trivia or a, you know, group happy hour or something. So it's fun.
I'm super impressed with the way you're saying Solancha, which is the other most mispronounced word in Baltimore because it's spelled like slaint.
Right.
S-L-A-I-N-T-E.
Right. Yeah.
So Solancha. It takes years to know how to say it. Doing
Solancha
such a good job.
And acai. Those are the two words I know how to pronounce. But yeah, that was a great bite for this week and always fun to hang out and play trivia. You have to come one time.
I've already told you I'm coming. Yes. It's on my calendar, May 8th.
So exciting. Very cool. Well, I had a great week this week. Thank you so much, Jane, for chatting. It's always
so fun.
Thanks
for talking.
Yes, of course. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. You can now pick up our May issue, which is on newsstands, and you can check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.